on Saturdays, we honor Our Lady. Today, we have an even greater reason for honoring her, since it's the feast day of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So let's take a moment to reflect on Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel, first of all, is a place. It's a mountain in the Holy Land. It's not mentioned in the New Testament. There's no biblical record of Mary ever going there, or Jesus for that matter. I don't know, maybe they did. But Mount Carmel is kind of famous in the Old Testament for its beauty, for its majesty, and its holiness. It was a holy mountain. There's a special connection between Mount Carmel and the prophet Elijah, because on Mount Carmel, Elijah was the instrument by which God defeated the 450 prophets of the pagan god Baal. In other words, the true religion was defended and upheld, vindicated, you could say. So Mount Carmel, as far back as we have any records, Mount Carmel has been considered a holy place, a place of prayer, a kind of sanctuary, holy mountain. So people gathered on Mount Carmel because it was a place to meet God. It builds on the tradition of mountains in general. Mountains are beautiful, they're majestic, there's something about them that lifts up our spirits. We want to climb them, we want to go there. There's something, maybe we don't have it clearly thought out, but there's something appealing about a mountain. That's why people say, well, why did you climb the mountain? And the answer is always, because it was there. It has its own appeal. And if you've been on mountains, you know what it's like. You're higher, as if you're closer to God. You might climb a mountain and be able to see farther. Or, in contrast, you might climb a mountain and find yourself in a cloud. You can't see anything. Or you might find yourself on top of a mountain looking down on the clouds. You're higher than the clouds are, and you look down and say, wow, I'm higher than the earth. It's a kind of a meeting place between heaven and earth. Meeting place between God and man. Well, the real mountain, the real meeting place of heaven and earth is Jesus Christ. You might have noticed in the collect, the opening prayer, it mentioned Christ as the mountain. We ask Mary to pray for us that, fortified by her protection, we may reach the mountain, which is Christ. So Christ is the mountain. He's not just a place where man meets God. He is God and man. So that's the focal point of all our journey to God, our journey upward, our longing for more, our longing for something above this earth. It's Jesus Christ. Mary's role is to bring us to Christ and to bring Christ to us. She is this intermediary. She is the servant of Christ and also the mother of all his disciples. And so on Mount Carmel, the hermits that gathered there, or the people who went there on pilgrimage, they placed themselves under the protection of Our Lady. Very wise, because Mary is the expert at knowing how to be united with Christ. So that's how it happened. It's a mysterious, the origins of a Carmelite order, but it has to do with the wisdom of being under the protection of Mary, under the guidance of Mary. Somehow Mary, especially in the Catholic tradition, is a guarantee that we don't fall into the extremes or the errors that tend to plague religion. Religion, because we don't know that much about God and how to do his will, we tend to focus on one thing or another and make that the whole part of our religion. So this is true in Christianity, but especially in the pagan religions. So there are religions that are exaggeratedly spiritual, we could say, as if the only thing you have to do is sit down, cross your legs, hold your hands, and leave this world behind, and just be in the realm of the spirit. Of course, there's something to it. I mean, yes, our focus is God, and we do have to be detached from things of this world. But that's not how God has chosen to reveal himself. He's not separated from the world. He's not against physical matter. He comes to us in the practical realities of life. So that exaggeration is overcome by Our Lady, because she's pregnant, she gives birth to a child, she nurses a child, it's a very earthy, practical, physical experience. It's not just a spiritual experience to be pregnant and to give birth. There was a pregnant woman here earlier this week, very pregnant, she's due this week, and she started to talk about, as women sometimes do, the experience of these days. She gave more information than I needed about the side effects of being on the verge of childbirth, but it's a very physical experience. It's not just a spiritual meditation. It's a very physical experience. And yet it's also an experience of God at work, new life, mysterious processes that take place whether you want them to or not. God is in charge of life. Mary reminds us that our encounter with God is as practical as this, pregnancy and childbirth. It's as earthy as the details of physical childbearing. God enters right into the practical details of life. So the spiritualistic extreme is overcome by devotion to Our Lady. Then there's the possibility, and you see this in some branches of Christianity, where the exaggeration is emotional. Emotionalism, you could call it. Where it seems as if the whole point is to stir up the emotions to reach a high. And so you see this in some of these mega churches. Loud, rousing music and light shows and very enthusiastic preaching, the preachers yelling and jumping around on the stage, and it's all to stir up the emotions and make everybody feel happy to be in the presence of God. Of course, there's something to it. We should be rejoicing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, the psalm says. Well, sure, but that's not the whole of religion. And we don't find in Mary an exaggerated emotionalism. She rejoices. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God. But you don't see her running around losing control. She's not yelling. She's a rather peaceful person. You see some of this in today's gospel, although this is not about Mary, about Jesus. Jesus, when he finds himself threatened by the Pharisees, he withdraws. He continues his powerful ministry of healing, but he does it in secret. He's not looking for a lot of commotion. He's just establishing the kingdom in a peaceful, gentle way, for the most part. Another exaggeration in religion is intellectualism. You know, just a lot of theory, lots of terminology, lots of theological concepts, and scholarly types love to talk on and on about the very difficult mysteries. Well, that's all important. There's something to it, of course. We're supposed to use our minds to penetrate the mysteries, but it doesn't get us very far. What Mary reminds us is the better way to deal with the mysteries of God is ponder them in the heart. Ponder them in the heart. Let God be the one to speak, not us. Let God be the one to reveal himself, not us be the ones to investigate and force our way into the cloud. Then there are people who think that the purpose of religion is just to make this a better world. kind of the secularist approach, deal with whatever, cleaning up the environment, feeding the hungry, doing practical things. Don't get all caught up in spiritual things. Take care of this world, make this world a better place. Of course, there's something to it. But religion is not simply a matter of building an earthly kingdom. And Mary does not spend all her time doing just practical things. She has this balance, and she teaches her children the balance of the spiritual life, the love of God, and the life on earth, love of neighbor. One of the signs of devotion to Our Lady of Mount Carmel, one of the main signs, is the brown scapular. I'm sure you all know the brown scapular. It's a sign of being clothed by Mary, of being protected by Mary, of being, just like every mother knows how to dress her children. How do children get their clothes? Well, the mother puts the clothes on the children, makes sure that they're properly dressed. That's the scapular. It's a sign of being under her maternal protection and guidance. And because she's such a good mother, that protection and guidance has eternal effect. If we are genuinely submitting ourselves to her guidance and protection, we have certainty about salvation. It's not a magic formula. It's not a good luck charm. It's not a bypass, get around having to be faithful or follow the commandments of God. It's not an excuse to sin because you're wearing a scapular. None of that. That wouldn't be honoring Mary. It wouldn't be to be under her protection and guidance. But it is a sign. And people say, well, what is a scapular? What's a little brown cloth? How is a little piece of brown cloth going to help you? Well, by itself, it doesn't. But again, it's a sign. And God uses physical signs. He uses physical realities. He likes matter. He likes using physical things. This kind of thing, the sacramentals, like a scapular, are reminders to us that we're not in a spiritualist movement. We are in an encounter with God in the world. Jesus is God and man. Heaven meets earth. Spiritual realities, physical realities, they meet. So scapular fits into that category. What is encouraging here is that even though we have confusion about lots of things, even though we might fall to one extreme or another, or even one sin or another, we can be confident in the protection of our Heavenly Mother, Mary. She's with us. Children, they fall down all the time. Children get into a mess all the time. Part of being a child. The mother is not scandalized by it. That's what children are like. But mothers know how to care for their children. And our mother, our blessed mother, Mary, she cares for all those who accept her maternal guidance. And that's what we do today on the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. We let Mary bring us to the mountain who is Jesus Christ. We let our mother nurture us so that we grow, mature in faith, in confidence, in joy, in spiritual safety as we journey through this fallen world.